The next matter on our calendar for oral argument is Allen versus Allen. Good morning, counsel.
Good morning.
Please take a moment if you need to get yourself settled.
Thank you.
You will have 15 minutes during which to present your argument. Obviously, there is no opposing counsel, so you don't get to rebut yourself.
if only.
It's important that you state your name and identify the party you represent because this hearing is being recorded for our records. So with that, when you are ready, counsel, you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Shana Praska, and I am appearing on behalf of appellant Adetola Abodunde. There are two issues before the court today: the district court's abuse of discretion with regard to Ms. Abodunde's request to modify legal custody, and the court's abuse of discretion with regard to Ms. Abodunde's request to modify child support. With regard to legal custody, the district court misapplied the law and made several factual findings that are wholly unsupported by the court's record. Initially, in determination of regarding whether a change of circumstances occurred, the court has to analyze what prior order is in effect when evaluating that period of time for that change of circumstances analysis.
The district court did identify the 2018 dissolution judgment as the prior order, correct?
The court acknowledged that the 2018 judgment and decree is considered the original order for purposes of establishing custody. However, the court did not expressly identify that as the prior order. In fact, the court set two relevant time periods for each child from which that change of circumstances analysis would be triggered. For the minor son, that change of circumstance period was from July 31st of 2019 through December of 2021. And for the party's daughter, that time period was July 31st, 2019 through December of 2020.
And the 2019 date, as I understand it, is the date of the order denying your client's prior motion to modify legal custody, correct?
No, Your Honor, that's incorrect. That 2019 order was based on both parties' motion for amended findings regarding various findings in the judgment and decree.
But legal custody was among the issues the court was asked to decide.
Neither part, yes, as part of the original establishment, right, the parties had a hearing, a trial in May of 2018, an order issued in September of 2018, and then both parties brought motions for amended findings regarding very discrete findings within that order. Neither party requested a wholesale change of the conclusions of law regarding legal custody. Actually, the 2019 order mainly focused on Nigerian property and other financial issues rather than custodial issues. Regardless,
Could you speak to what the other date, you peg that 2019 mm-hmm. to the order denying motions for amended findings on a judgment and decree, is that right?
Correct.
What about the other dates?
The other dates are, it's actually unclear why the court chose those time frames. The court did recognize an April 22nd of 2021 order, but that order only modified parenting time, which is not a prior order pursuant to statute for purposes of reviewing a change of circumstances in a modification context. The court actually never really identified a prior order, which is why the appeal is necessary, because the sufficient findings are not there to determine whether or not an actual change of circumstances occurred, and that is an actual misapplication of the law.
Has there been a motion prior to this one between the J&D and this motion? Had there been any motions by either party, well, I guess by your client, to modify legal custody?
No, Your
this
Honor.
This is the first one.
Correct. This is the first one. While my client certainly sought out Band-Aid solutions to ensure the physical safety of her minor children, that was in the guise of domestic abuse protective orders, which is a totally separate statutory framework that the court must apply and is distinct from the modification standard set forth in 518.18.
How has your argument changed if I'm looking at the order that you're appealing today. And the district court says mother is correct that the party's J&D entered September 14th, 2018 is the original custody order. That seems to defeat that argument that you just presented, that that the court made an error in that. How does that affect your argument with respect to the modification motion?
At the end of the day, Your Honor, then the court limits the time period frame in which they are reviewing whether or not a change of circumstances, and they wholly omit factual and material evidence that my client presented to support the fact that there was a change of circumstances that occurred since that original order.
But the change has to be substantial, and I notice even in the 2018 order, there is discussion by the court of alleged domestic abuse and the children's exposure to a domestic abuse between the parents. And I think, you know, there had been a custody evaluator who testified at trial who was aware of that and still said supported, you know, shared legal custody. So it seems to me that even in the original order, the notion of domestic abuse had been brought before the court. How is the situation that was presented on your motion to modify that's on review now? How does that represent a substantial change in circumstances?
At the time of the party's decree, my client testified at length regarding the domestic abuse that occurred in relation to respondent. She had never alleged that domestic abuse happened or was perpetrated upon the minor children. And in fact, the court made specific findings that that was the fact. The district court at that time indicated that there was no reason to unduly restrict respondents' parenting time, and the custodial labels that were established supported that fact. However, after that judgment and decree, circumstances were significant, and they changed.
And we had had, only, for example, I think the county was involved, and there was a maltreatment determination.
Correct. Yep. Child Protective Services made a finding of maltreatment against respondent on behalf of the party's minor son. There were allegations of a physical abuse against the party's minor daughter. Various professionals were involved in this file that testified to that the children's resistance and fear of their father is significant and ongoing, as well as there was much testimony to indicate that respondent interfered with Ms. Abadunde's ability to secure therapeutic services for the children, to interfere with medical care for the children. That entire record has not been refuted by respondent. He didn't even testify at the trial, at the modification trial at the district level. And none of those restrictions applied at the time of the judgment and decree. The district court that issued this order similarly restricted respondents' parenting time at the time that my client brought her motion to meet the prima facie standard. At that point, the district court restricted respondents' parenting time such that only supervised sessions would occur with the party's minor son and advised no contact for the party's minor daughter. That is a wholesale and significant change from the facts that applied in 2018 when the court determined that a restriction was not appropriate and awarded the parties joint legal custody.
What's the legal significance of the July 2019 order? I know you've told us that that was simply the parties' cross motions for amended findings, but I'm looking at that order, and the order references the fact that the parties have brought motions to modify provisions regarding custody. And the court goes on, without making detailed findings, to deny that those motions. So, I mean, can't we conclude from that these issues of abuse against the children were brought to the court's attention in 2019?
No, Your Honor. Unfortunately, the district court did not include sufficient findings in that order as well to clarify the record for the case at bar. Unfortunately, the court referenced custody, but neither, if you look at the substantive motions that were filed, neither party requested a modification of legal custody. In fact, my client only requested certain discrete findings regarding domestic abuse between the parties be modified. That did not subsequently impact either her request that she only have sole legal custody that was made back in 2018, nor did it change the court's determination that the parties should share joint legal custody back in 2018.
So you're focusing on legal. At that time, just to clarify the reference in that order, were there any motions to modify physical custody?
My client approached this very conservatively in 2022 when we initially made the prima facie case for modification. At that time, we requested just a modification of legal custody since the district court completely restricted respondent's parenting time and he essentially had no contact with the children.
By 2019, there had been, again, no motions to modify physical or legal custody. Is
correct.
What you're saying.
That is correct.
Counsel, how do we... I wrote down finding 76. The judge found the allegations of endangerment neither specific nor credible. And, of course, we defer to district court's findings. And then I think it was in that same finding or maybe nearby made the practical point, finding that, as you just did, the father's not seeing the children in order to endanger them. So what's wrong with that, our deference to that? Wouldn't that kind of end the analysis?
No, Your Honor, because it's a complete misapplication of the law. The court inappropriately interpreted endangerment and the present environment to be the children's literal living arrangements. Essentially, they decided that since I've restricted dad's parenting time, the children are with mother, he poses no danger. But per statute, present environment is the judicially sanctioned environment that the court created through the prior order. In this case, that is their joint legal custodian status. And as the record is replete with information to demonstrate that the respondent inhibits and poses a danger to the children through his inability to cooperate with my client and his inability to interfere with her making legal custody decisions.
Let me focus you in on that, because a lot of the discussion about abuse that has happened in the past or may not happen in the future, really, it, to me, implicates parenting time and physical custody, because legal custody is about decision-making, mm-hmm. about things like where do the children go to school, what religious faith, if any, tradition are they going to be raised in, medical decisions, things like that. How I'm having a hard time connecting the fact-based arguments you're asserting here with that legal custody standard.
At the party's trial, there was copious testimony regarding how respondent has interfered with major legal custody decisions. He interfered with the party with the children's ability to receive therapeutic care, such that Ms. Abadunde had to seek out court intervention. He interfered with her ability to receive routine medical care for the minor children. The evaluator testified and elaborated at length regarding the fact that respondent's involvement in decision making poses a risk to the minor children. This evaluator was a neutral evaluator. His recommendations were that my client receive sole legal custody, and he indicated the risk that respondent posed to my client's ability to secure stability through legal custody decisions should the modification not occur. The district court rejected that without providing sufficient findings, heightened and particularized sufficient findings as to why that rejection occurred, and the court also declined to engage in a best interest analysis. So, to the point that we don't understand.
Does a court have to engage in a best interest analysis when it concludes that the other statutory criteria for modifying legal custody have not been established?
I think in this case, yes. The best interests are always the guiding factor. It is part and parcel of a modification analysis. It's part of the statutory requirement. As well, because the court appointed a neutral custody evaluator and said, please go out, do the investigation, come up with a report, and make recommendations as to custody and parenting time. While the court has the discretion to reject those recommendations, the court has to substantiate the rationale for doing so, and that could either occur through a best interest analysis or through particular findings
well,
as to that
the
rationale.
The court made some findings about mother's involvement in you know, the estrangement, if you will, of the children from their father. And, I mean, what other findings would you have the court make?
I would not say that my client estranged the children from father, I believe.
And maybe I misspoke, but it's undisputed in the record that I think daughter hasn't seen father since December of 2020, son hasn't seen father since December of 2021. The district court did make a finding about concern about mother's role in in that situation.
Which completely ignores the fact that all of those restrictions were judicially sanctioned either through an order for protection or by this own district court, who then said endangerment was not at issue. So the fact that the court did not provide an analysis as to the best interest factors and only focused on my clients.
Well, I mean, the court also talked about therapeutic reunification efforts and other things that were happening with the children and with parents, correct?
Well, reunification has actually not occurred. It was only at the evidentiary hearing that the parties stipulated, based on the neutral custody evaluator's recommendation, that respondents' parenting time would continue to be restricted pending reunification therapy and the involvement of a parenting consultant. The court then went on to make findings that somehow that respondent was in tune with the children's psychological and emotional needs based on that agreement. However, again, respondent did not testify or proffer any evidence to indicate that he understood or was in tune with the children's psychological or emotional needs. Instead, he just stipulated to a recommendation that was made by the custody evaluator. With regards to child support, and I'm out of time.
If you would like to sum up in you know, a minute, you may do so. I know we had a lot of questions.
In sum, the court misapplied the law with regards to modification of legal custody. The court made several findings that were completely unsupported by the record. Respondent did not testify at the evidentiary hearing, and essentially Ms. Abadunde provided uncontroverted evidence regarding the fact that legal custody should be modified. With regards to child support, the court also misapplied the law and made findings that was completely unsubstantiated by the record. Both parties did provide evidence as to their incomes. It was competing evidence. The court failed to make any analysis or findings as to what the parties actually earned.
Didn't the court, though, assume the testimony or the evidence that mother presented on the issues of their respective income?
Actually, the court did not. Based on Ms. Abadunde presented evidence which, if adopted by the court, would have met that presumptive 20% $75 change. The court did not make that finding. The court also misapplied the law by finding that just relying on Ms. Abadunde's information that the net support from father to mother would only be modified slightly. Again, that's not the case. If you actually run the numbers through the child support calculator that were provided by Ms. Abadunde, either under the actual statutory framework that applied, she met the burden to determine that a modification of child support was warranted. And even under the court's faulty analysis that net support applied, even if running under that calculation, her child support would increase by about $500. So in either scenario, Ms. Abadunde met her burden of proof, but because the court did not provide particularized sufficient findings, it cannot be determined whether or not a modification of child support should actually be warranted in this case.
All right. Thank you. You have exceeded your time now. Thank you for your argument.
Thank you.
We will take the matter under advisement and issue our decision within the statutory 90-day period.
Thank you so much.